We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Alfred Marx in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much indeed. Hello, and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome back four of our regular and keen competitors, Kenneth Williams, Peter Jones, and Clement Freud. And in our fourth or guest chair, we're happy to have with us this week, Alfred Marx. And to begin the show this week, the subject that Ian Messiter has thought of is starters. So, Kenneth, will you talk on the subject of starters for 60 seconds? But just before that, I must remind them the rules are still the same. They have to try and speak, if they can, without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject until they are challenged. Kenneth, the time starts now. Starters with you.
Well, there is, of course, the starting pistol, and starters could be a prawn cocktail or a great delicacy, which I absolutely adore, heart of the palm. Served with perhaps a little crab on the side. Now, waiters have been known to genuflect.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Who on earth has dared to challenge that?
Deviation.
Why, Clement?
The crab couldn't stay on the side for very long.
I think he meant crab meat, so I disagree with the challenge, and therefore Kenneth has a point for an incorrect challenge, and there are 39 seconds left on starters beginning now.
Then there is the gentleman, of course, who, as an orator, opens
Clement
the meeting.
Freud has challenged you again.
Repetition of course.
Clement Freud gets a point for that, and he takes over the subject, and there are 34 seconds on starters starting now.
I think starters is one of the ugliest words to describe first courses at meals. I call them hors d'oeuvre, or perhaps soup, egg, pasta. Now, there's a pretty word for you. It's Italian. It means spaghetti, tagliatelle, lasagna, any combination of flour and egg white, the odd yolk, water, boiled and filled with minced beef and tomato.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Much too slow, I think.
It is a very slow process. It's a tremendous mistake trying
going
to
slowly.
Get
I think
it
you
all
could
in
have...
too quickly.
I disagree with that challenge. So Clement gets a point for an incorrect one. And there's 1.5 seconds left. Starters beginning now.
Eggnog.
That whistle tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. And Clement, it's actually your turn to begin. We want you to start the second round, and the subject is Full House. So if you can talk on that for 60 seconds, starting now.
If you have potted shrimps and eggnog and prawn cocktail, the house does become tremendously full.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. I think that's a disgrace. Full house. We all know what that means. And I don't see what potted shrimps have got to do with a full house.
Well, he was just about to explain to you, you see,
no,
Kenneth.
Wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't.
No, can't get him out of it like that.
Yeah. Kenneth, you have a correct challenge, and you have 4 seconds to take up the subject, having gained a point on Full House starting now.
Often referred to by the professionals as Harry Packers, and they were hanging from the chandeliers. What more moving and spiriting occasion is it than when we get into a theatre and see the lovely plush and the curtain going up on a scene of infinite variety and illusion, and we all cheer as the heroine, almost at the 11th hour, is rescued by the king and the white dove flies back to...
How
dare they? I was just underway. I mean, the
underway. You'd gone over the top. Peter, can we have your challenge?
Yes, well, he got off the track altogether. He was describing a play which actually would have emptied any theatre that it was performed at, and so it had really nothing to do with a full house.
Yes, he was now describing the play and not the full house. I agree with your challenge, Peter. You have a point for that, and you have 26 seconds to continue. Full house starting now.
Yes, well, it's a marvellous experience for a performer to enjoy, and I did that in Australia. They came round to the dressing rooms and took the chairs to put them in the aisles in the theatre because there weren't enough places for people to sit.
Alfred Marx says...
I thought I detected a hesitation.
You have a correct challenge, you have a point, and you have 14 seconds to talk to us on Full House starting now.
Clickety-click, 66. Legs 11, all the ones. Blind 80, 8-0. These are the cries one might hear in a bingo hall if one is going for a full house. A full house in this sense.
The ecstatic reactions of joy from the audience as Alfred Marx got a point for speaking when the whistle went. And at the end of that round, Peter Jones, Alfred Marx, Kenneth Williams are equal in second place behind Clement Freud, who's still in the lead. Peter Jones, will you begin the third round? The subject is interesting briefs. I don't know whether you have any experience of them or can talk about them, but would you try for 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, I have a barrister friend whose briefs are held together with bits of string and sealing wax, paper clips, sticky tape, and so on. Not really very elegant or impressive. But, of course, they are. I was anticipating that Clement would interrupt because I said, of course.
Well, actually, Kenneth Williams who challenged you.
It was.
Yes, what was it, Kenneth?
Yes, well, he said that these things, the sealing tape, the sealing wax and the red tape, wasn't very elegant or impressive, whereas, in fact, these great seals used in the law are very impressive indeed. So I would say you're deviating
well,
from the truth.
Well, my friends aren't.
I?
My friends, particularly.
You're not going to drag in a lot of esoteric stuff about private relationships. How can we possibly challenge that?
No, I don't agree with your challenge.
Oh, make up your mind.
I have. I've decided that you've got a wrong challenge, and Peter keeps the subject, and he has 45 seconds on interesting briefs starting now.
Of course, the ones people wear nowadays
Clement Freud is challenged.
The third, of course.
Clement, you have the subject. You have 43 seconds. Interesting briefs starting now.
Old Spanish lace cameo knickers could be the most interesting brief that...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation. There's no such thing as cameo knickers. Cami, yes, but cameo. I mean, can you imagine knickers hung with cameos? It'd be very uncomfortable. Apart from bruising the behind, it would be extremely hazardous.
All right, I agree with your challenge. 37 seconds, interesting briefs, starting now.
The most interesting I saw was heralded by Mr. Durand of the Old Bailey when he maintained that embezzlement did not necessarily entail the trousering of money, clients' money, in this sense being not...
Alfred Marx.
A repetition of money, I thought.
Yes, there was
yes, but I was just going on.
Yes.
I mean,
Alfred, you have a point in after a correct challenge, and you have 27 seconds for interesting briefs, starting now.
There is a very good store in the West End which has branches almost all over the country which sell most interesting briefs. There are various motifs. You can get crisscrosses, patterns, pictures of people, pictures of animals. The ones I like.
Clement
pictures,
Freud.
Of course. I said pictures, didn't I?
Yes, but I want to hear Clement's challenge.
All right, then.
Repetition of saying I said pictures, didn't I?
Yes, I said.
15
yes.
seconds, interesting briefs with you, briefs. Clement, starting now.
An ordinary cami knicker has never interested me a great...
Alfred Marx.
I don't think you're going to have cami knicker in the singing unless you've got one leg. You
Alfred, you have 12 seconds for interesting briefs starting now.
The most interesting brief I ever heard of was the one in which the solicitor told his client, don't book me, because if you do, you will certainly go to jail. To which the client replied, ha, 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 ha.
Clement Freud's challenge came just as the whistle went. He was obviously challenged for the repetition of ha, 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 ha. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to Alfred Marx, who gets another point for speaking when the whistle went. Alfred, it's your turn to begin, and the subject that Ian's thought of for you is ladies and gentlemen. Would you talk on them or about them for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
The Maker, in his infinite wisdom, has divided the world into ladies, gentlemen, and several don't knows. We in this country do not, unfortunately, have the thing the Americans have. We do not have a form of address to our ladies and gentlemen. This puzzles me and saddens me somewhat, because in America, if you're the lowest peasant or the most marvelous millionaire, the most wide thing, and I've done the whole thing, and I shall wait till next time round. Nobody stop me, I shall go on. So therefore, you see, they call a man Mr. Sir, and a lady, ma'am or madam. We do not, in this civilized country of ours, have this form of address. If a lady drops a wallet, we say, oi, missus. Or if a man drops something, we say, here, governor. We do not have the ability, and it's just a great pity.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, I don't know. He doesn't seem to be talking about ladies and gentlemen, this ear governor and all that sort of thing.
He established to my mind quite clearly that this was another way that people in this country have of referring to ladies and gentlemen. I thought it was very explicit. You have a point, and you have 12 seconds, Alfred, on ladies and gentlemen starting now.
I'm reminded of a story I read in the press about this chap.
Peter Jones.
Who has reminded him? I haven't reminded him.
That's a very clever challenge. I can't judge on that, so I give Peter a bonus point for a very clever challenge.
Well judged. Yes. Well done. Brilliant point. He should go far.
And leave the subject with Alfred with 9 seconds on ladies and gentlemen starting now.
Of this man in Eastbourne, a true story, I must add, who went and had his lunch.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of story.
Yes, I'm afraid you reminded the
Absolutely
story before,
right.
And this
yes.
was another thing. Yes. So Clement's got in with only 4 seconds to go on ladies and gentlemen starting now.
They don't make ladies and gentlemen like the Tracy sisters anymore.
Kenneth, would you start the next round? The subject is... Oh, yes, this is a nice one for you. I think you've used the word before. Gomphosis. Would you talk about gomphosis for just a minute, if you can, starting now?
This is the description of articulation between clenched teeth, but you have to make what you're saying perfectly clear to your collocutor or conversationalist who you are discussing the whole thing with. And, of course, it can remind you in many ways of ventriloquialism, where they say, and do this sort of daft singing, as though the mouth is not moving at all. Because gomphosis means that you have no longer any control over facial muscles, because the actual jaws are clamped molar to molar.
Alfred Marx has challenged.
What, molar, I think.
Yes, molar is right.
Well, it's such a lovely word, I thought I had to savour it.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes. So, after that demonstration of lockjaw by Kenneth Williams, or gomphosis to the more erudite, we have Alfred Marx speaking again for 20 seconds on gomphosis, starting now.
Have you ever felt you're going to regret the fact that you pressed a buzzer? Because I know absolutely nothing about gomphosis, nor am I... You see, that proves my point, didn't it? You see?
Clement.
Hesitation.
I think so, yes.
Not really, no.
10 seconds, gomphosis, Clement, with
Disaster.
You starting now.
In the 8th century in Persia, gomphosis ruled with, I think, as much compassion...
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation, yes, deviation. There's no gomphosis in Persia, and there's no such thing as...
Well, I will put that to the audience, if you like.
Yes, they know.
If those in the audience who
Great
think that
Persian
gomphosis
experts,
reigned in the 8th
see.
Century in Persia, in which case you'll agree with Clement Freud, would you cheer? And if you think that gomphosis didn't reign in Persia in the 8th century, would you boo? And will you all do it together now? Absolutely convinced that gomphosis didn't reign in Persia in the 8th century. So, Kenneth, you have 4 seconds on gomphosis starting now.
And I almost wish I hadn't, you know, because I feel I've exhausted the subject of gomphosis.
Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject is, oh, yes, a nice one for you, taking in washing. Would you talk about taking in washing for just a minute, starting now?
I think if you're out to take in washing, you would do well to start with a shirt. There are few garments more gullible. You go up and try and sell Waterloo Bridge, for instance, to the sort of garment with which you wear a bow tie. And who knows, but it will be taken in and give you good hard currency for it. But I suppose taking washing could also mean opening a launderette and accepting what people have worn, which has become soiled, dirty, torn, or in other ways defaced from its pristine beauty with which it emerged from a shop. For instance, an Irishman I know who lost his employment because he worked on an oil rig and was fired for throwing bread to the helicopters.
Peter Peter Jones buzzed on the payoff, which was very good.
Peter... Well, it was, apart from being a racialist joke in very bad taste, it was a deviation and nothing to do with taking in washing.
Peter Jones, you have a point and after a correct challenge and 9 seconds left for taking in washing starting now.
I remember a Miss Barrow who used to take in washing when I was a boy, and I collected it from her, and the smell in the kitchen and the linen hanging in every...
So Peter Jones, seeking them with the whistle when got the extra point, he's moved on to third place alongside Kenneth Williams, but they're 1 point behind Alfred Marx and three behind Clement Freud. Peter Jones, your turn to begin the subject exchange. Would you talk about that, if you can, for just a minute, starting now?
Exchange is no robbery. It's, I think, one of the most stupid of all proverbs, probably invented by a burglar when he took something valuable and left a bit of old rubbish. And the stock exchange, what an incredible organization that is. When people...
Kenneth Williams.
There's nothing incredible about it at all. It's very ordinary. It's simply a lot of people who sell stocks and shares. Nothing incredible about it.
Well, that's
open. These devious remarks you're making.
It's not devious, Kenneth.
The British public.
He hasn't deviated from the subject on the card which is exchanged, so he keeps it, and he has another point for a wrong challenge, by the way. He has 38 seconds left, starting now.
Well, it does seem so to me, because in this atmosphere, which is like that of a boys' preparatory school, enormous sums of money are given from one person to the other and back again, and the costs and the prices of these commodities, or the shares...
Why is he laughing while he's saying all this?
Because nobody else was.
So what is your challenge, Kenneth?
Well, I thought the laugh meant he didn't believe a word he was saying.
Well, you could still go on talking and not believe a word you're saying in just a minute, provided you don't deviate from the subject, hesitate, or repeat yourself. And Peter wasn't doing any of those things, so he has another point and 20 seconds on exchange starting now.
And foreign exchange, that's an interesting topic, because at the moment, the pound is...
Clement Freud, a challenge.
He said Bognor Regis twice.
Brilliant. I never noticed it. That is brilliant.
Clement, if you are
repetition.
Going to nod off, don't make it so obvious, please. He didn't. Bognor Regis didn't come into it unless it was quoted on the stock exchange. And so that's another incorrect challenge. Oh, Peter's doing very well, isn't he? There are 12 seconds, Peter, on exchange with you starting now.
Well, the financial world depends very much on the exchange rate of the pound, because...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of pound.
Yes, you did say pound before. 5 seconds on exchange, Clement, starting now.
Our incredible chairman, if you remember, probably committed the greatest exchange when he made Montevani...
Clement Freud was speaking then again when the whistle went. He gained the extra point and increased his lead at the end of that round. Alfred Marx, we're back to you. The subject is a delightful one for you to talk about, the invention of spaghetti. And would you talk about the invention of spaghetti starting now?
It is a little-known fact that spaghetti was invented by Solvenici Pacivani Alfredo Getty, and it was S.P.A. Getty who invented spaghetti as we know it today. Now, it is usually made from flour, semolina. You can also get tagliatelle, Veramoli, Necciatelli, all these are brand names for spaghetti. I had the good fortune to be stationed in Italy, where, of course, spaghetti is the staple food of the country. Sul mare luccica l'astro d'argento placid.
Kenneth Williams.
Deviation, you're supposed to speak for 6 seconds, not sing. Disgrace.
A very good challenge.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes?
There are those who may not consider that singing.
If they'd heard me, they would know that it was singing. Kenneth has a point.
He's only jealous because he can't sing like that, that's all.
11 seconds on the invention of spaghetti, Kenneth, starting now.
The spaghetti that I know is made at one of our most famous seaside resorts from whole meal sago. And is exported very successfully.
Well, we have a very close situation in the contest still because Peter Jones, Alfred Marx and Kenneth Williams are still... Not still, they have now again become equal in second place.
I'd like to go back over all that because I think I'd like to change my diction. Do you know what I mean?
You do it all the time, so why bother now? And they're 3 points behind our leader, who's still Clement Freud. And Kenneth, your turn to have another chance to change your diction because the subject is an historical one for you, which Ian Messett has come up with, Marcus Aurelius and Antoninus. And would you talk about him for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
Well, he was one of the most wise of the Roman emperors, taking the mantle, as he did, from Antoninus Pius, and inventing the traffic regulations by which we govern the movement of vehicular something or others every day in modern times. His famous book, Meditations, is a classic on philosophical polity, and he gave 4 chairs of learning at the University of Athens, each devoted to the sects of philosophy. One Epicurean, one Peripatetic, one... Oh, I was just getting underway. You know what I mean? That impetus came to me. What was his challenge, by the way?
One.
Repetition of one, of course.
And he has 23 seconds to take up the subject now of Marcus Aurelius Antoninus, starting now.
The Marcus Aurelius Antoninus I know is not, in fact, a Roman emperor at all. He is a barber in Soho. A very, very nice chap indeed.
Clement Freud.
Anymore.
Yes, repetition of theory.
I'm going home. I can't stand them. The most rude people in my entire life. You start speaking, people buzz you all over the place. I'm really, you know, if this is the sort of game you're playing at the BBC, I really don't want to know.
You haven't done too badly, even so. You're still in second place, only 2 points behind Clement Freud.
Then I'll stay.
Well, you probably won't have a chance to alter the situation, because I just got a message that we have to finish at the end of this subject. So Clement Freud now takes it over, and there are 18 seconds left, starting now.
One of the most interesting things about the Emperor Marcus Aurelius is that he never had to finish at the end of the subject. He went on, he continued, and not with traffic lights that went red, yellow, and green, because vehicular traffic
Alfred
in
Marx.
Ancient...
Well, actually, it's a deviation, because I don't think our erudite Mr. Williams, Professor Williams, mentioned traffic lights.
He Precisely.
Mentioned traffic
Thank you very much, Alfred. Thank you, Alfred. I'm very grateful. Thank you. Yes, you see how they mangle your words.
But and Clement... also repetition of thank you. I'm sorry.
But Clement wasn't referring to the fact that Marcus Aurelius was talking about traffic lights, but he said he probably didn't have to bother with that subject.
Is that what he said?
Yes, so therefore he wasn't actually deviating from the subject on the card.
I've never been nearer a point in my entire life.
No.
I think I will go home.
I'm glad you came back. There are 5 seconds left with you, Clement, starting now. Peter Jones.
Very slow off the mark there.
Yes, hesitation, definitely. Yes.
Well, the red light was on, you see.
Quite so.
There were actually 2 seconds pause, so I agree, it was a hesitation. There are 3 seconds now left for you on the subject, Peter, starting now.
And it's one of the most interesting subjects we've had in the whole...
Peter Jones was then speaking when the whistle went. He got the extra point, and we have a very close situation and the final count, because we have no more time, as I warned you a little while ago. Kenneth Williams only just came in 4th place, 1 point behind Alfred Marx. Alfred, 1 point behind Peter Jones. Peter leaped over Alfred then, and he came in 2nd place, but 3 points behind Clement Freud, who took the lead early on, kept it to the end. So welcome this week's winner, once again, Clement Freud. We hope you have enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.